Well, we've had tens of thousands of people who've already watched the interview that I had with John Steenhuisen earlier this week. That was in direct reaction to a statement put out by Action SA. I thought it was bullshit, the statement. Athol Trollope is the Eastern Cape leader of Action SA. He's got a few comments on the whole matter. We'll be catching up with him in a moment. Yeah, Athol, I don't know. You know, I've been in the media industry a long time, as long as you've been in politics. And man, you know, not letting the facts get in the way of a story is something that in our industry we really don't like. I guess in politics, or maybe I'm getting to learn that in politics it's acceptable. You have a go when you can. Or help us out here. Why did your guys send a statement like that about Steenhuisen, which was patently wrong?
Okay, thanks very much, Alec. I really appreciate it. And I think that I appreciate the opportunity to clarify some issues, especially regarding your introductory comments now, that you thought it was bullshit and that we didn't give out all the facts. I want to put that straight. We are an opposition party, and the parliamentary terrain has changed considerably in Parliament since the last dispensation. And there are two big blocks in Parliament. The one is the governing bloc. It's the Government of National Unity, made up of 10 political parties, including the Democratic Alliance. And the other is the so-called opposition bloc, which is dubbed the Progressive Caucus. It's more like a regressive caucus. It's made up of MK and EFF and a few other small parties. So Action SA is the biggest opposition party that is not aligned to either of those two blocks. So we are right in the middle. We're the fulcrum of where Parliament operates. So we have made a commitment. I'm the parliamentary leader in Parliament. I made a commitment when I was elected that we would be a constructive opposition. And being an opposition requires certain things to be done. I mean, you ask questions to the ministers, you follow their promises, you attend committee meetings, and you do a whole host of things. And we've got metrics that we measure on our performance. And just for example, in the first 7 months in Parliament, we asked more parliamentary questions than MK, which is 10 times bigger than we are. Now, this particular instance, we asked every single minister in the GNU whether they drive luxury vehicles, how many do they have, what do they cost, do they use blue lights? And John Steenhuisen was one of the ministers that we've received a response from. And the reason why we released that statement with my question to the minister and his response, it was with the statement, all the facts were there. So no facts were withheld. If people just did the trouble of opening the attachments, they'd see that the facts were all there. We didn't ask, you know, whether John Steenhuisen bought the cars or not, it's neither here nor there. He took over a department. He's the new minister of that department. And the department has spent money buying these motor cars. Now, the role of the opposition is to hold the executive to account. And the reason we released this statement about the DA and its leader and the Minister of Agriculture is that the DA have been on record saying that they will do away with all these perks. They've been bemoaning a bloated cabinet for the last 30 years in South Africa. And I know this because I was the leader of the opposition myself. I was a member of the same party as John Steenhuisen. I know the modus operandi. Up until they became part of the GNU, John Steenhuisen himself would ask the same questions annually to the ministers and release the same kind of statements. So I think he was just being a little bit thin-skinned about having been asked the question, because I guess now that the boot's on the other foot, he's a little bit more temperamental. But be that as it may, we will continue to ask the hard questions. We will ask all the ministers. For example, Alec, I released a statement yesterday about Minister Khabisa, who's the Minister of COCTA, and he is a member of the IFP. And all the ministers were asked the same question: how much money have you spent on overseas travel since you were elected? Now, himself and his two deputies have spent 10 million rand in 5 months on travel overseas. Now, listen, local government is in a mess, and no conference overseas is going to give you a solution to local government and traditional affairs of South Africa. You need attention and leadership at local government. So I've got on the record very hard on Khabisa. So this is not a John Steenhuisen matter. this is my job. I'm the leader of Action SA in Parliament to say to Thabisa, you cannot spend 10 million rand on overseas travel when your travails are local and the solutions are local and traditional leadership is a South African issue. You will learn nothing about traditional leadership in London, Germany, New York, San Francisco, or Moscow. So stay at home and do your job. So I just think there's been a little bit thin-skinned about this thing, but here's the issue. Helen Ziller went further, and she went on public records.
Ethel, there's so much meat in that. So I'm not going to – we'll get on to Helen Ziller's stuff in a moment. But and I'll also get back to Steenhuisen's cars and your statement in a moment. But this 10 million rand in travel by the leader of the IFP, that's extraordinary. How the heck do you spend that much money on overseas travel amongst three people in such a short period of time? Was he hiring jets?
Well, I'll give you a couple of examples because this is what is the role of an effective, efficient opposition, is to say to ministers, you say you're going to tighten your belt. There are austerity measures in our budget, which means there's less money to do what departments are supposed to do in providing service delivery, yet you're spending more money on yourselves, buying motor cars, blue lights brigades, traveling overseas. Gwede Mantashe spent 1.9 million rand. The Minister Simelane of just on overseas travel in the last 5 months. Minister Simelane also nearly 2 million rand. Mr. Minister Khabisa spent...
Doing what? Where are they going to? What are they actually doing, spending? Are they hiring private jets or flying on jets? Because can't spend that money on commercial travel.
I don't think they are, but you know, I thought John Steenhuisen answered the question quite well yesterday and told you about going to China and what his responsibility is. So he said that he uses a filter. Is this going to help my department? And then he decides whether he attends an invitation to go to an overseas conference. But let me illustrate to you how this money gets spent. Gayton McKenzie, for example, went to the Paris Olympics as the newly elected Minister of Sport. And he spent 16 or 17 days there. And his travel and accommodation cost the taxpayer 800,000 rand.
Okay, Ethel, you got to wait there because I've investigated
I'm not going to wait. I'm going to tell you more.
I've investigated this. He was a new minister. He went and did what he was told to do. His next trip was to the UAE. Did you check that one out? He hired a combi. There were a bunch of people that drove around the UAE in a combi. So he learned his lesson for sure. But as a new guy, he didn't really know. Cut him some slack.
He spent the money. Alex.
He didn't.
And
he traveled his department first class. Spent it.
Yeah,
his
okay.
Department
well, the department
spent it, and he was told, get on the plane, go here, get picked up by the chauffeur. It's, you know, and this is the thing that in journalism really bothers me. If we write these kind of stories without getting the other side of the story, we get lambasted, we get pillaged. We get hammered by our readers, and yet it seems in politics you can say things like Steenhuisen's got a fleet of luxury vehicles. Man,
well, look,
the impression is made that these vehicles are very, very expensive. I'm just asking if you guys, Ethel, you've got a huge reputation, and many in our community, they've seen you, they love you, they say, well, Action SA, for all the problems that we seem to be seeing from it, they got Ethel Trollope there, so there's got to be stuff that there's got to be another side to the story. But when you start repeating these stories, no man.
No, let me. I'm not going to repeat them. I'm going to give you the facts if you would just listen, Alec, because you've really given me the answer. You said Gayton McKenzie was told to go and do it. So John Steenhuisen basically said exactly the same thing. He said he inherited cars, he took them over. They're 7 years old. They've got so many 100,000 kilometers on. Those were the responses he gave me. I have no parliamentary privilege outside of parliament. I have no privilege on the show of yours now. I must account for what I say. So I asked the question in writing. He responded in writing. I made a statement and attached the responses in writing. I hid nothing. I actually investigated because I asked his department. Here's the thing. Gayton McKenzie learned a lesson that in the public eye, you have to account. He even said initially on the 800,000, he said, I normally travel first class, not business class. So I travel business class. But it was 500,000 rand in airfares, 245,000 odd rand in hotel
shuttles. I mean, it's excessive, Alec. I travel overseas. You travel overseas. You would never spend that kind of money if it was coming out of your own pocket, if you were traveling on your own expense. So here's the point I want to make about these motor cars. Never once did we accuse John Steenhuisen of buying the motor cars. But I want to tell you right now, those seven-year-old vehicles are going to be scrapped very soon because the law says you may not travel in a vehicle above a certain kilometrage. So they will buy new vehicles, and the department will buy the vehicles. And we will ask the questions again next year, just like John Steenhuisen asked exactly this question last year when he was the leader of the opposition. It's not new. There are some standard practices in politics. You can tell me about my reputation and tell me I've been puerile. John Steenhuisen himself was the leader of the opposition and did the same thing. John Steenhuisen said the schoolyard puerile politics. Now that we're asking him, it's too difficult. But here's the point, Alec. Helen Ziller made a statement publicly, and she said DA members of parliament and executive members will not use blue lights. That is a definitive statement. John Steenhuisen said on your show yesterday that he does not use the blue lights. He's instructed his people not to use the blue lights, save for cases of emergency or life or death. And so did his spokesperson use that yesterday. Now, in the United States, there's a massive anti-gun lobby. Those people who lobby against gun ownership, imagine if one of them was found carrying a gun and was asked by a journalist like Alec Hogg, why are you carrying a gun? And he'd say to you, no, I don't use it. It's just here for a case of emergency or a matter of life or death. Minister Groenewald has answered that he has had his blue lights removed from his motor car. Now, if you say you aren't going to use blue lights, you remove your blue lights. Alec, I was a mayor in Nelson Mandela Bay. I made a promise to the people of Nelson Mandela Bay that I would not use blue lights. I removed them from my official motor vehicle. My deputy mayor at the time, he's passed on now, at the time was using blue lights continuously. And one of the reasons that I raised with the United Democratic Movement at the time was that he is breaking the coalition agreement by using blue lights. And he denied it and denied it until we had an instance that we proved that he was using these blue lights. And then he said, no, he uses them for his protection. So there's something hypocritical in this matter that didn't come out yesterday in your answer, in your interview with John Steenhuisen. If you say you do not use a gun, don't carry a gun, and say you only use it in a matter of life or death. If you do not use blue lights, remove them from your motor car. It's as simple as that.
Okay, so he did say that. He said, what do they want me to do? Remove them from the motor car? And the answer is yes. And I can understand your argument,
Alec,
now.
I don't
if
even
you
want
haven't
him...
got it, you can't use it. Yeah.
Alec, I don't even want him to do that. I don't want him to do that. His party has made a public statement that they will not use blue lights. Therefore, what you say in politics, you must do, because if you don't do that, you're going to get caught out and people are going to hold you to account. And then you're going to say it's puerile and it's child schoolyard politics. It's not, Alec. This is politics is a very difficult game. You've got to do what you say and you've got to say what you do. If you don't do that and you do something different, and somebody starts asking you questions, it gets very uncomfortable. Now, if I can go to that interview of John's when he got out of a meeting in Limpopo and he was questioned by a journalist, why aren't you driving a black luxury vehicle? His response was, no, I'm driving a modest Toyota Corolla Cross to save the taxpayer money so that there's more money to do the work. And he ended with, there you are. Now, that looked heroic and good for him because he could have hired a Mercedes-Benz or whatever at the airport. There's no prohibition of that. So he did show austerity by hiring a Toyota Cross to work in Limpopo. But as a minister, and I don't even bemoan the fact that as a minister, you've got to be mobile. You've got to get to places and there are certain laws. But don't say that you aren't going to use blue lights and then tell me you use them in the case of emergency. Take them out of your car. Do what you say. And that's what this statement was all about. But Alec, I also want to say that we have a job to do as Action SA, and we are not going to be thin-skinned or precious about who we ask. So every time we ask a question, we ask all the ministers. We do not focus on the DA or the IFP or anyone like that. I've made a point of that. I left the DA 5 years ago, Alec, and you know that I've never badmouthed the DA about anything. It's not my style. I'm not into personalizing politics. I think that that's way past its sell-by date in South Africa, especially with all the problems that we have. This was not about John Steenhuisen or the DA. It was simply about saying, you've made a statement now. Your answer says you do use blue lights. They are fitted. Please explain. And the explanation wasn't good enough.
Okay, so a little bit. No, thank you. If only I was a little smarter or lighter on my feet, and I could have gone with that if you carry a gun argument, because it is compelling. But let's go on to the other part. I know what you did send me a WhatsApp beforehand, and I know the line you're going to go, but I think it's only fair that you have the opportunity to respond to the criticism that Steenhuisen made about the mayor of Tshwane and the speaker in Johannesburg and the vehicles that they drive. My understanding was that he said there were two blue light vehicles that each of them were using. What is the reality on that one?
Okay, Alec, I mean, you'll just indulge me, and I'm sorry, I want to look up this because I do want to just have the facts. Because it's interesting, in the discussion that you had with John yesterday, John said that he'd like the facts to be put on the table, and I put all the facts on the table. I attached the answer and the question with our statement, so the facts were there. But he then had no problem with making an allegation about this mayor of Tshwane, who is an Action SA member, Dr. Nasipi Moya, and the speaker of Johannesburg, and said that they both have two motor cars. And I then went and investigated the matter, and it's not true. So John was also, perhaps less honest with the facts, because my facts were in the statement. They were there for everyone to see. His response was in the statement we issued. So the speaker of Johannesburg also inherited, quote unquote, one BMW X3 with over 100,000 kilometers on the clock. She has a driver and one close protection officer that travel in the same car, no tailing or follow-up support vehicle. So what he said was not true. Secondly, the mayor of Tshwane is also driven in an inherited entry-level BMW X3 sedan that Mayor Brink of the DA drove previously. She does have an escort, because there's a provision in the Local Government Act that the executive mayor has a vehicle with two following officers. So she is followed by a vehicle, an escort vehicle that follows her. So both of them also drive inherited vehicles. They are also secondhand, over 100,000, and they don't have two vehicles. John implied that they have two vehicles at their own disposal. They're not. They you get fetched in one and you get taken to work and you get taken home. And I know that for a fact, because I was a mayor as well. The vehicle only ever fetched me at my home in the morning and dropped me at my home in the evening. If I went to any other engagement or a party political party engagement over the weekends, I'd go in my own vehicle. It's for official travel only, and the municipality and the taxpayers or ratepayers pick up the tab for those vehicles.
Have they got blue lights, those vehicles?
I'm not sure, Alec. I really am not sure. But if they do have blue lights, that's no problem. I don't have a problem with blue lights. When I was in the DA had a policy of no blue lights, so I removed the blue lights from my vehicle. And if your party policy is no blue lights, and you make public statements to that extent, then you must remove the blue lights.
I'm getting to understand exactly what the argument is here, and that is, if you say something, follow through. But help us out here, Ethel. You guys have said, you campaigned on the basis, especially in the local elections, that you want the ANC out. Never will we work with the ANC. And for many voters now, I suppose, to be charitable, they're confused with what Action SA has done subsequent to that. I'm not talking about Parliament, because you stuck to your guns there. You did not join the Government of National Unity. But certainly in both Tshwane and Johannesburg, which are an absolute mess by anybody's standards, it appears to many voters and ratepayers that the Action SA has actually facilitated a continuation of the poor governance that's occurred there. So just help us out there. Again, no, you're talking to the BizNews tribe. They trust you. They believe what you say. So I think what you say here is going to carry a lot of weight.
Now, look, I really appreciate the fact that we can step off, you know, personalizing matters. Alex, that's a very good question. You know, they say the road to hell is paved with good intentions. So before the results of the last election, Action SA, the IFP, the Freedom Front Plus, the DA, and a number of other parties formed a multi-party charter. And we were all in there with the objective of getting the ANC removed from government. So much so that Action SA asked all the other parties to sign an undertaking that if we didn't get enough support as each party in the multi-party charter, that we would not sign up to work with the ANC. At that time, the IFP, the Freedom Front Plus, and the DA balked at that, and they said they would not sign that because you can't commit yourself to not doing something if the results don't pan out the way you expect them. And sure enough, within weeks of that election result, they fell into a government of national unity. Right. So Joburg is a mess, and I don't gainsay that at all. And it's a mess because the DA pulled out of Joburg. The DA had successive mayors in Johannesburg. They pulled out because they said they wouldn't work with the PA, very precious. They now work with the PA in the government of national unity. And they wouldn't work with the EFF, and they wouldn't work with that one. They pulled out. So Joburg fell back into the hands of successive mayors, including Gwamanda and Dada Marera and a whole lot. And Joburg is a mess. So we said as Action SA in Johannesburg that we will not take up a position in the executive because you've made this mess. You must fix the mess. But we'll take over the speaker position in the legislature to hold the executive to account and make that sure that the provincial legislature works. Now, I think it's still early days to assess whether our role as having a speaker in Joburg, not any member on the executive, has turned Joburg around. But I believe it's had a positive impact. That's my personal assessment. But, you know, the public will tell you soon enough whether there's a turnaround in Johannesburg. As far as Tshwane is concerned, the Democratic Alliance have been in government in Tshwane for a long, long time. They've had a succession of mayors, and they didn't have an outright majority after the last local government election, and they had a coalition. That coalition fell apart, and there was a motion of no confidence against Celia's Brink. And there was such protectionism about Celia's Brink, much more so than I experienced when I was a mayor in Nelson Mandela Bay, for example. There were 7 motions of no confidence against me, and I was a member of another party at that time. Didn't have the same kind of public and party support as Mayor Brink had. Doesn't matter. We've now got an Action SA mayor, Nasipi Moya. And I can tell you, Alec, whether you want to recognize it or you haven't recognized it yet, the people of Tshwane have started to recognize that there's a turnaround in that city. Dr. Nasipi Moya is a superb administrator, supremely qualified to be an executive mayor, probably one of the most qualified executive mayors in the country. And there is a turnaround in Tshwane. We've seen a resolution or agreements with Eskom to pay off debt that was ballooning under Mayor Brink, getting completely out of control. Hammanskraal has got water now. The whole Edwin Sodi, Royval water saga that happened during the DA's time is being unstitched and opened up now. So Tshwane is turning around. Service delivery in Tshwane, cutting grass on islands, making sure traffic lights are working, dealing with water issues, dealing with electricity, vandalism, stripping power stations. The mayor and her executive are there on the ground. So I believe no political party in this country has the sole preserve in government, and no political party has a life right to govern. So yes, the DA claims where they govern well. I think that that's pretty much undisputed in the Western Cape. But they've lost a lot of municipalities in the Western Cape. So that indicates that there is political unhappiness in the Western Cape because they lost a number of municipalities in the last local government election. People will vote for political parties that make a difference in their lives. And I think that our intervention in Tshwane has been something quite unexpected. And we've just quietly plugged along with our job. Mm-hmm. And we will continue to do that like we do in Parliament. And Alec, I want to give you some other statistics, interesting statistics. When I said that we would be a constructive opposition in Parliament,
I don't go around labeling people, calling them names. I listened to some of the commentary about from John yesterday about what he thought of our party. I don't deal in that kind of politics. What we said was, if it's good, we'll support it. If it's bad, we won't support it. So I'll just give you some statistics. Parliamentary participation, we made presentations in nearly every committee during budget vote debates. We made speeches in every budget review debate. We submitted over 100 written questions for executive supply, the same number as MK, who have 10 times more members than we have. We have Dr. José Letlape, who is a formidable health professional. He's been asked to speak on the NHI in Botswana and Namibia since he became a member of parliament. And, you know, there's a saying that says you've got to become a prophet in foreign lands before people in your own country know what you offer. And I must say that I've been extraordinarily privileged because the other five people in our caucus are all professionals. They've never been politicians before. They're all highly qualified graduates or social activists like Deraline James, who is just a drug, anti-drug and gang social activist par excellence. And I believe that we've got an incredible team of professional MPs that have made a difference in parliament. And members from the DA and the ANC and all other parties have made comments to us about that. And I'm extremely proud about that because I left politics, Alec, as you know, for my own good reasons. Mm. And I came back to politics because I want to make a difference. I'm not into puerile finger-pointing personalization of politics. South Africa is a beautiful country. We can make it work better, much better. And if I can make a small difference in doing that, I'm going to continue doing it. But I'm not going to be precious, and I don't expect people in public office to be precious either. You know, if you want to stand for public office, you must understand that the spotlight is going to be on you, and the microscope is an electronic microscope, and every move and everything you say will be held against you, and you will be weighed at the end of the day. So we do that in portfolio committees. We do that in budget debates. We do that in annual reports. We pour through those reports. We make sure we're properly prepared when we go to those meetings. We're not there for a picnic. We're there to make a difference. And I will continue leading that caucus to the best of my ability with that kind of ethos, Alec. That is my ethos. I'm not into petty politics.
Ethel, just to close off with, and this is a question that I think there might be a lot of disinformation or perhaps misunderstanding. Many people in the BizNews community on the different forums and that are saying, well, Action SA is going to be wiped out in the local government elections. You've got a strong position in Gauteng in particular. What's your reading internally about the way that people are reacting to the position that you've taken?
Look, Alec, I've had a lot of people talking to me, and also we talk about it in the party. Our president has come under a bit of pressure the way he responds about being taunted around racial identity. And all I want to say in that regard is that the scars of apartheid are very, very deep. They run very deep. If you listen to any debate in parliament, whether it's from Action SA or the DA or the IFP or the MK or anyone, the scars of apartheid are very, very deep and still very raw in many cases. So when you provoke people along racial lines or racial identity, it raises the ire of people. Now, I think the challenge in our country, and I believe that President Mandela was a superb model for that, is that you've got to try and rise above it. But when you bait people and you get a response, there are a lot of bots out there. Social media is treacherous terrain. And there are a lot of bots out there who bait politicians, and politicians respond. And then, you know, you must deal with your response as well. So our position in Tshwane will, I believe, vindicate the decision we took to work with other political parties because, you know, if the DA can work with the ANC, why can't we work with the ANC? It's a very simple question. If the DA can work with the ANC, why can't Action SA work with the ANC? So we will show in Tshwane that it's not about buddy-buddy relationships with the ANC or the EFF. It's about getting the job done, fixing the city, and making sure that the books balance. That's the responsibility of politicians.
And I believe that by the time we get to 2026, people are going to start talking about Tshwane. And, you know, I have a long history in the DA, Alec. I was in the DA for 38 years. When we first got a toehold in the city of Cape Town, the objective was to make the city of Cape Town work. We then co-opted six political parties into a government that was led by the DA, and they turned the DA into a city of Cape Town into a shining city on the hill. And then people started saying, hey, look what happened in Cape Town. And then we started winning other municipalities. So we're a brand new political party, just over 5 years old. We also have got our plans. We're going to turn Tshwane into a shining city on the hill. And people are going to say, oh, we thought those guys would screw it up and make a mess of it, but they haven't. They've actually done a great job. The traffic lights now work in Tshwane. And you know what? It's going to be so clear. Cape Town was a long way from Joburg and Tshwane and Ekurhuleni and eThekwini. Joburg and Tshwane are side by side. Tshwane and Ekurhuleni are side by side. The people who live in Joburg and Ekurhuleni are going to see what's happening in Tshwane, and we are not going to disappear in 2026. Action SA is a unique political party because it's made up of people who've left the DA, the ANC, the IFP, and all the other political parties because of disillusionment or whatever reason, and they found another home where they believe that they are comfortable and it's a new place and we occupy the middle ground. And that is a piece of political space that is going to be highly contested in 2026. And Alec, we're talking to other political parties. As I'm talking to you today, we're talking to other political parties who are identifying that Action SA actually has got a place in South Africa. And we're the biggest opposition party that's in neither of those blocks. Please listen to what I'm saying. We have six members. The next biggest party in the opposition is Freedom Front Plus. They have the same number of members. And then the PAC have nine, but they're in the GNU. We're the biggest party that's not in either the GNU or the Regressive Caucus. So we occupy a space that is rarefied political space that people are looking to. They say, we don't want to be part of Zuma. We don't want to be part of the ANC or GNU. We want to be part of something new, something different. And that's the space that we're going to occupy. And we are not going to be wiped out in 2026. The doomsayers can say whatever they like. I've lived in this political movie before where we were almost wiped out as the DA in 1994. There were seven MPs in 1994. They called themselves the Magnificent Seven. They were the official opposition until very recently. We had six MPs in our first ever political election for parliament, six. And we call ourselves the Super Six. Watch us. Don't write us off. The DA can go from seven to nearly 100 at some stage. We can go from six to 100 or more.
Ethel Trollope is the leader of the opposition. And thank you for correcting me on that as well. John Steenhuisen doesn't have that title anymore because he's part of the government. Well, the leader of the opposition outside of the Progressive Caucus. So I suppose we have to put a right in
it. The leader of the opposition in parliament is John Thorpe, ironically, who shouldn't even be in parliament. Mm-hmm. But that's the kind of mess that we're in. And you know, the political landscape changed, Alec. You know, the DA are now in government with the ANC, and before the election, they wanted to wipe the ANC out. You've got to deal with the cards that you dealt in your hand in politics and in poker. You've got to know which ones to discard, which ones to hold, and then you've got to play your hand. And you're not going to win every hand, but you've got to play hard.
Sounds like a Kenny Rogers song, Ethel Trollope. Good talking with you.
And I'm
Alec Hogg from BizNews.com.